When I was a toddler, I risked all kinds of hearing loss so that I could lie under my father's piano, listening to him play Bach's Goldberg variations. This was before I'd seen Silence of the Lambs. It was also before I discovered the Queen of the Night, before I developed those throat nodules, and before I started violin lessons. It was back when I was a bit like that little girl from Montreal, when Bach was just beautiful music and my ears were little more than enthusiastic sponges. Bach was my favorite composer for much of my childhood. His pieces were filled with mysterious puzzles and dark, echoing caverns and those dazzling blades of sunlight that pierce through the clouds on gray days, all things that fascinated me. There was also something about his music, its puzzle-like quality, perhaps, that challenged me to create my own. So one day, a few years into my musical studies, when I was 5 or 6, I sat down with a pad of manuscript paper and one of those tiny golf pencils that are always lying around my parents' house, determined to compose the world's greatest piece for violin. I scratched away for what felt like hours, experimenting with different combinations of notes, tearing off pages and dramatically crumpling them up, crossing things out and rewriting until I reached perfection. When I'd crafted a whole phrase, I brought it to my dad. Some of my note heads were on backward, I knew, but the music, I was sure, was incredible. And I was right. It was incredible. It just wasn't original. It was the first two measures of Bach's G minor violin sonata. Vivaldi was another one of my favorites of that age. I didn't love everything of his. I didn't care for Spring or Summer or anything you'd hear in a commercial for cat food. But his double cello concerto, his aria Vedrò con mio diletto, and his Winter all shared a clarity of sound, a rhythmic drive, and a sometimes dark intensity that drew me to them. I loved Vitali, too, and Corelli. Baroque music, we'll get to what that is in a bit, was my jam. You know what wasn't my jam? Medieval music. I hated medieval music. The thing is, though, that for years I didn't know I hated it. Or rather, I didn't know medieval music was a thing that existed. All I knew was that once every so often, a sparse, skeletal-sounding piece, the musical equivalent of SNL's Debbie Downer, would issue from those quad speakers, and suddenly the sky would turn black, and all the plants in our house would wilt, and all the joy in my tiny child heart would instantly shrivel up. Then the piece would end, and everything would go back to normal. I'd never heard of Baroque music either. I knew that I loved Bach and Vivaldi and Vitali and Corelli, but I didn't understand that there was a link between these composers, that they all belonged to the same group. It wasn't until later, when I was 8-ish, and my mom put up a poster in our bathroom outlining the 6 different periods of classical music, that I made the connection. It was 6 back then, but now it's 7. The compositional period I was born into expired with the dawn of the 21st century. That bathroom was where everything started to come together in my mind, where I realized that nearly all of the music I hated came from one single era. And when I realized this, I was pissed no one had told me sooner, because with that one word, medieval, I could have spared myself hours of torment, which is why we're covering compositional periods here, in Chapter 1. Classical music isn't a thing. My kid was a much cuter toddler than I was. He had to be, because feeding him was a pain in the ass. He wouldn't eat anything that was green. It didn't matter whether it was an avocado, or a slice of kiwi, or the last of the pistachio macarons that Dada brought home for Valentine's Day. If it was tinted or flecked with anything from celadon to emerald, he fed it to the trash can monster before anyone could get it within smelling distance of his face. To him, the logic was clear. He'd tried a green food once before and hadn't liked it, so it stood to reason that he'd find all other green foods equally objectionable. Most people approach classical music in a similar way. They've heard snippets of it in movies and commercials and elevators, snippets, mind you, that are often chosen to support whatever stereotype said movie, commercial, or elevator is trying to promote, and they think they know how they feel about the entire body of work. But just as kale tastes nothing like Granny Smith apples, which tastes nothing like pistachio macarons, Mozart sounds nothing like Shostakovich, which sounds nothing like Wagner,